And right now, it's time for that rootin' tootin' meanest man alive occasionally on a Tuesday morning. We love to bring him in. He's a great guy. He's got well over 40 years of experience on things like Wall Street, the economy, politics. And he brings those ideas focused with us here on a Tuesday morning. Ladies and gentlemen, the wild and woolly Jim Lynch. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning. What a great great beginning. I appreciate it. I really do. Well, kind of wakes me up.
That's good.
Well, that anyways.
That music was really fantastic. Wow.
You should listen to us more often because not just before your show because Marshall's been playing some pretty good songs.
And if you listen to us for too long, people who listen to us for too long have no hair because they pull it out.
That's not true.
Only kidding, Jill. I'm only kidding. It's a joke, Jill. Relax. Calm down.
No, but the one thing.
Jill does not like self-deprecating humor.
That wasn't self-deprecating. Here's the issue. The one thing that we don't do is bang on unremittingly about a topic for so long that you have to pull your hair out. That is the one thing that makes us different from everything else.
Okay, well, it's time for a little hair pulling.
That's right.
Sorry about that.
Well, everybody.
It's called the wall. It's called the wall.
Everybody knows that at 8:35 on a Tuesday, they can either sign up or tune out. So.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Welcome.
If they don't like it, they don't listen. That's what I always say. Hey,
the show used to be, exactly,
you know,
turn it off.
It used to be, Jim, in radio, Jim, I used to work in radio stations that did the same thing all the time, okay? And you could never say to them, well, if you don't like it, don't listen, because it was the same thing, so they'd never listen. But the great thing about this station is, if something comes on that you don't like, right after it, there's going to be something. It's a whole different platform. So
right, and that's the only reason that particular element of humor didn't
strike
my funny bone.
It struck Jim and I, though. So.
Well, yeah, but it's all about the two of you, right?
2/3 of majority. That's right. Okay.
All right. Let's get right to the national emergency, which happens to be Donald Trump. Very important. You can pick up on it very readily. Julia Ainslie on NBC News reports from the border control statistics that as of a May 18 report, which Congress got, we didn't hear much about, only 6 terrorists were stopped at the southern border. I said 6, not 6-0, but 6. That's versus the 4,000 that Huckabee has been touting on Fox News, even though she was taken to task by the
Chris Wallace,
and also the lady who looks like she always wants to cry, Kristen of the Homeland Security. She's also lied, and just underscoring the lies going on in this administration. But these are real serious things. Tonight, the president supposedly is going to speak. I hope MSNBC does what they've done previously, which is have people in the control room fact-checking and putting on time delay the speech, because it'll certainly be full of a lot of lies. Most importantly, though, Donald Trump's insanity or whatever it is, he's putting families at risk, shutting the government. And Jimmy Kimmel, ironically, the night host, has hired one of the people who are out of work. He's going to hire a person, a show, to give them some money. It's not, as usual with the Trump administration, they don't really think beyond their tongue. People are suffering. People can't pay their bills. Obviously, they are very anxious, and this is going to backfire on the Republicans because these workers are not concentrated in D.C. They're throughout the country, and therefore they have lots of friends and so forth, relatives who are going to watch what's going on in their lives, which is not too pleasant.
Jim, it's not only going to backfire on Republicans. Here's the problem. And I just found out this morning, this is a very interesting part. It's going to backfire on Americans. Our meteorologist, Pat Pagano, pointed out this morning that the American models, which help predict the weather forecasts, that everybody, any meteorologist across this country, the information all comes from seven computers, basically, three of them from the United States, and then four, one from Canada, the Euro, and a few other ones. Well, all the United States computers are going to be inaccurate. Why? Because in this government shutdown, the planes that fly into these storms are cut back. The helium balloons that are sent up into the sky are not going up to read the and get correct information. So the forecasts for the coming weekend are highly improbable.
Well, they're not improbable. They just don't have American information.
They don't have the right correct information in them from what we normally put in. If you wanted to pay your taxes early and get a refund, it's not going to happen. If you, like us, we have reports we have to file every quarter. We can't file them. We have to hold on and sit on them until this partial government shutdown. There is no such thing really as a partial. It's like a semi-boneless hand. When you involve 700,000 to 800,000 employees, it's going to backfire on a lot of people.
But more to the point, not just when you say backfire on a lot of people, not everybody gets up in the morning and looks at, wow, what's the political situation? Let me get into the ins and outs of that. So it's also creating a lack of tolerance. It's making a mess because people don't want to view everything in their lives in terms of politics. I'm not talking about New Yorkers and Washingtonians. I'm talking about just regular people who've got to go to work.
Well, you're absolutely right. And this is why people are finally going to wake up to the chicanery and the lies of the Trump administration. And boy, they better wake up quickly, because this man is quite dangerous in what he says, what he does, what he threatens. He's very demoralizing. It's interesting. A friend of a friend put something out, I guess, on Facebook, and she basically said, I cannot sleep at night for the last 6 months. Anybody else sharing this problem? This is a regular person, not ill or anything else. She got a ton of responses. This nation, as we can see from the television and the newspapers, we are full of anxiety. It's been generated by a lot of things, but one thing in particular is the bombacity of the speech coming from the President of the United States. And what is so sad and pathetic in a country that we've deemed as a republic, a democracy, is the fact that we don't have many people in responsible positions coming out and saying, stop already. We are a country that is one that looks forward, that is optimistic. We're not a country of negativity. And unfortunately, at the moment, we've lapsed into that with this I'm right, you're wrong, fed by the lies coming out of supposed responsible people.
Here's what the problem is, Jim, and you're going to hear me, and it's going to sound like I'm supporting the president, and I'm not. The problem that goes on is I cannot blame the people he has appointed to these important positions that he thinks will be yes people, because they are not experienced. They have really no idea the depth of which the problems they're creating. You know, it's a sad day in history when I can sit here on the radio and say congratulations to Mr. Bolton for turning this thing around with Turkey and Syria. Now, for me to sit here and say that Bolton did a correct thing is scary. But as much as I disagree with most of that person's political history and political life, he stepped forward at an important time and put a monkey wrench in something that was going to be disastrous. That's how tough it is, Jim. There's not many people that have been appointed that realized what would happen. You mentioned the Director of Homeland Security. Totally, totally overmatched and out of her league. And that's why every time you see her, it looks like she's ready to cry. She has no idea what to do because she has no idea what the president's going to do. And that, I think, is the crux of the problem, that even the people he appoints and even the close people that he appoints now, except for his family members, have no idea how much rope they have before they hang themselves.
Right. Right. Absolutely correct. And the people he's hiring now, they don't have the knowledge, and many of them don't have the principle, the values of what it means to be serving the American public, the integrity that is necessary in doing that. Is not part of these people's makeup. I mean, that woman should have resigned the first time she heard that she was on the ropes. Just get out. Now, Mathis, the general, he took it and took it and took it, and then he said, well, I can't stand up here as a soldier and say I'm going to continue to be here to try and avoid this guy's getting us into a war, because he's crossed the line. He's going to come out, and he's saying Syria. And so Mathis resigned. Now, it's amazing. He resigned, and it was quickly put to bed by the media. I've seen one or two responsible pieces basically outlining what you've said in that spirit, that we had a guy who would tell the president what's right. But after a while, he just got beaten down so badly, his own personal reputation and principles, he wasn't going to sacrifice them, and he left. And we are in a sad state. Please, get on the phone, write your congressman, vent whatever problems you have brain-wise, and put them into action, which is why this young group that just got put into the House, many of them young people, they have their own flair. There's some kind of encouragement. There's some kind of energy. We want to do something. We want to do something right. And hopefully, as this year transpires, we're going to realize that the Senate is going to go Democrat. I don't care whether impeachment, indictment, it's not that. It's to get us back on track. It's to get us going again. We're falling behind the world. The allies are laughing at us. Putin has made a damn fool of us day in and day out. And I don't understand. I get the famous guy on Network, the movie. I'm not going to take it anymore. When are American people going to get up and say they can't take the lies anymore?
Well, it's not really the American people. And it's the House and it's the Senate. And you have people that you've elected. The House will now go about their own way, but the problem that they're going to run into is, of course, is the Senate. So we're pretty much gridlocked, and it's power play politics for the next 2 or 3 months, and that's the sad thing about it, because while the power play politics goes on between the left and the right, the Democrats, the Republicans, the ups, the downs, the ins and outs.
Those regular people that we were talking about get pretty annoyed, and then you get one of these wonderful, and unpaid.
Those regular people get ignored.
And then they get irked.
And then the problems surmount as a country. In a million, it's like when the garbage doesn't get picked up. When the garbage picked up, you don't realize how much garbage stinks. Well, guess what? When garbage doesn't get picked up,
you have a garbage strike sooner or later.
You know what? All of a sudden, you see all the garbage and it stinks. Well, that's what's going to happen with the Congress and the Senate.
And once again, I'd just like to interject, for better or for worse. You know, this is where you get then go those wonderful polls where Congress's approval rating is, you know, lower than the ocean floor.
Well, that was a previous Congress. It's not the new one. But all I'm saying, all we're saying is that
it's going to get sucked into that.
Poor government will show its stink sooner or later, when all this continues, Jim. And that's the real sad thing about it is that it is a good thing about it and it's a bad thing. People will see how stinky and unreliable the people we have elected are in controlling a dangerous situation like this.
Well, I think before it gets stinky, before it creates what is needed, I think we have in the power, the people have in their power, the ability to make Congress stand on its head. A strike by the flight controllers out for a week, that'll do it jiffy quick, because that'll upset the economy, upset people all over the country, and basically these people will say, okay, we've got to open up at least three-quarters of the government that has been shut, and let's just get back to debating this stupid wall in Congress and in the Senate. I mean, when history is written about this period of time, it's like Nero when he was playing his fiddle as Rome burned. What Trump is doing to this country is outrageous. And a couple of good old-fashioned strikes. You can start with a garbage strike in D.C., but I'd like to see the flight controllers go out. And that will put this country on notice that you keep screwing around, then you're going to be totally miserable. We already are probably looking at a recession, and we're being pushed further and further into that possibility by these stupid tariffs, by the disheartening language, by the lack of optimism, and economic statistics in the last quarter. In manufacturing particularly, they've come off. New orders have come off. Why? People are losing confidence. They're losing confidence and they're losing orders. This thing with China is an abomination. China is a major nation. We're trying to treat them like they were a third world country. They'll soon be number one economically. If we don't learn how to deal with them, our problem is going to get so much worse. And we need to out Trump and the Republicans who are in bed with Putin. We need to get rid of these people. They are traitors.
Well, we'll see tonight. I can't watch it. There's no way I can watch it. But it's going to be interesting if the president goes out and declares a state of emergency to build this wall. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. You know, I've been.
They'll go to court.
I've been screaming for years, during the height of the energy crisis, when gas prices we were paying $4 to $6 a gallon, depending on where you lived in this country. I was screaming for our president to come out and say, we're going to declare a state of emergency until things settle down with OPEC. You oil companies are making $50 billion a year. You're going to have to settle with $25 billion a year until things settle down with OPEC, and we're going to keep gas prices at $2.50. That would have put, you know, it's interesting. You talk about tax cuts and you talk about everything else. The things that put money into people's pockets are the things that they spend money on every day. Energy. You heat your home, you cool your home, you drive your car, you drive your truck, you're a business that does. If you can control energy prices, you can basically settle in the economy for a while. And that's what's so everybody looks at the stock market like that's an indicator of the economy. It's not, especially when it goes up 600 points, down 1,000, up 400 points.
And your local CD gives you more safe money and interest than playing around with that stuff.
Just take a look at energy prices as a whole. There's a huge indicator.
But also look at how low and lowering gas prices are and how high our, you know, hate to say it, oil production as a nation is now. It's like these little things, at least not you, Jim, but just generally when these things are being discussed, you got to factor in all the pieces, not just the selected ones.
Well, I just can't. I won't be able to take it, so I'm not going to watch it tonight. But it's going to be. I'm going to be very interesting when I wake up tomorrow morning to see exactly what happens tonight.
You watch it afterwards. You watch it on tape.
I'm not going to stay up to watch it because I know I'll upset myself and I won't get to sleep for the rest of the night. And I have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I totally empathize with your situation.
But bringing that back to your friend who posted on Facebook that he or she hasn't been able to sleep for 6 months, because I know several other people who have announced to me that they haven't been able to sleep. And, you know, there are other, they too could stop, you know, it's very hard, but sometimes you have to step away from that which is causing you such a lack of health.
I totally agree with you. I certainly in conversations have indicated so to my friends and so forth. What I've been doing, I've been watching more of the BBC. I've been using the radio more. I turn Trump off when he comes on, and when some of these other people come on. However, I've started to get into Fox News a little bit. I just want to see, as Rupert Murdoch and his kids decide, we can't make profit much anymore on this thing. I don't know if you noticed that Fox News viewership about a week ago was, for the first time in 18 years, slightly below MSNBC's in terms of people watching. It's a trend, I think, that might begin to increase. And I think it's very important because the American people have got to come. All people have got to come to grips with truth. Truth is power.
Well, truth and power and correct report. We've gotten away from correct reporting in this country. I can only watch literally two or three people on television that I trust to give me a fair look at news. One of them is Shepard Smith. Another one that I really do like, and I know you people are probably gonna laugh me out of here. I like Brian Williams. I like the way he shells out his news, and I also like. What's his name? I like Meet the Press on Sundays, not doing the garbage during the week where they load it up, but on Sundays where, and also the CBS show on Sundays, because they touch on different issues, but we don't have reporting, most of the time. We have a
panel of talkers that are supporting whatever point that they're trying to make. Anyway,
sorry, Jim. We only have about a minute and a half left, so we'll shut up and let you finish. I'm sorry.
Well, what could be worse than being a field goal kicker for the Chicago Bears?
Being a field goal kicker for the Buffalo Bills.
Scott Norwood.
My goodness. Yeah. Broke your heart. When that kid took his helmet off, I said, God almighty.
But then,
I hope that Baz keep a watch on him for 5 or 6 days because.
Then you have the flip side with that young kid from Clemson, 19 years old, a freshman quarterback, doing what he did last night. The kid's got his whole life in front of him. He's going to be a major star. So for every sad story, that's the great thing about sports. You can find something that'll offset that.
And what about.
Amen.
What about that? What about the freshman receiver? Come on. So anyway.
Let's get the videotape.
Justin Ross is his name, and what's the?
All right.
Let's
find it later because we have to let Jim sign off here.
Trevor Lawrence.
All right. Let's end on that very positive note. USA, go forward. Keep your head high. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio.